Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is written for us in the book of Acts, chapter 16, beginning at the 22nd verse. When the crowd also joined in the attack against them, the magistrates tore off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had been beaten severely, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to guard them securely. Because he received such a command, the jailer threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Instantly all the doors were opened and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted with a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, because we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling in front of Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to everyone in his home. At the same hour of night, he took them and washed their wounds. Without delay, he and all his family were baptized. Then he brought Paul and Silas into his house and set food before them. He rejoiced because he and his whole household had come to believe in God. So far our text, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day in all the stresses and disappointments of life, and we pray that you would dispel our doubts and fears. Reassure us of your abiding love in Jesus, our Savior. Assure us that our sins are forgiven, and that you will see us safely through this earthly life till we're finally with you in heaven. Sanctify us then by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. In Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed, have you ever considered killing yourself, committing suicide? That is something that some people struggle with daily. For others, it may be just one event that snaps and they seriously consider ending it all. What causes a person to think about suicide ending their life? For some, it's depression. Obviously, severe depression. This isn't just a blue day. This is a person struggling with their worth and the value of their life, wondering if anyone even loves them or will notice if they're gone. For the others, it can be disappointment. Something happens in their life that they weren't prepared for, they didn't plan for. And they conclude from whatever disaster is falling on them that it's better not to try and push through, it's better just to end it now. Be done with the suffering, be done with this life. Those people are often struggling with despair. It's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. I want out. With all of those circumstances, there's a common theme. And it's a lack of hope. It's a lack of the view of the future that there's any good left in it. Because of the current present circumstances, whether it's their internal feelings or external events, their view of the future is so dark that they'd prefer not to find out what it holds for them. They're hopeless. The jailer in Philippi on that eventful evening probably thought he knew what his future held. The earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. He could see that the doors were open. His mind races and says, "The prisoners are gone. I'm going to be killed." That was the Roman law. So he drew his sword and was going to end his own life. He didn't want that future. But God intervened. God sent Paul and Silas to give him hope for the future. And so Paul cried out, "Don't hurt yourself, we're all here." He was saying, the future that you've pictured for yourself, the darkness and the hopelessness of that future is not valid. It's not true. We're all here. We don't know exactly what caused the jailer to fall at the Apostle Paul's feet and Silas' feet and ask that question, "What must I do to be saved?" It's interesting that if we read the verses before this, Paul and Silas had been followed around with a demon-possessed slave girl who foretold the future. And she kept shouting out to everyone that these two are servants of God and are revealing the way of salvation. Did the jailer hear that story about Paul and Silas? But what, for whatever reason, he asked the right question. In his desperation, you might even say with his world turned upside down, he asked the right question. And at the heart of it is this question: how is a person like me going to be saved? Paul had a beautiful and simple answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Trust in Jesus, and you will be saved. That is such a simple statement. And yet it profoundly contains everything that the Bible teaches about the way of salvation. We often trust ourselves to get ourselves out of the messes that we create. We trust our efforts, we trust our mind, we trust our planning. And we think we can find a path. But that wasn't the message of hope that Paul laid before the jailer. Trust in Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your whole household. It's only Jesus that took all the despair, all the hopelessness of the fate of humanity, into his own body, suffered and died so that we might live. Jesus took away the big question marks of the future by living, dying, and rising again, so that now everyone that believes in him possesses an eternal hope. We may not know what tomorrow brings in all of its details. And there may be some things there that we don't like, some things that are painful and hard for us to go through. But there is the light at the end of the tunnel. Because eventually we know that Jesus is going to take us from this world of sorrows. And he will keep his promise and take us to be with him forever. So don't despair. Don't harm yourselves. Jesus is hope for you and for all people. But I do need to add just one more thing. We've talked about a dark and a gloomy topic, suicide. If you have struggled with suicidal ideation or are struggling with it, don't suffer alone. There are people that love you, and there is a God that loves you. I love you. I may not have even met you yet, but if that is your struggle, come, reach out, talk to someone, talk to me. Because there is hope for tomorrow. Because Jesus has taken away your sins and made a place for you in heaven. Don't suffer alone. Surround yourself with fellow sufferers who cling by faith to the hope that Jesus gives. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, until life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you confessing that sometimes life is difficult, and sometimes in extreme cases, we can even think that it would be better if it just ended. Forgive us for all our times of despair. Lift us up and assure us that you love us and you will keep your promise to work all things for our good. Help us to see that the trials and difficulties of life are there to strengthen us and keep us close to you. Father, we also pray that for those who struggle with mental illness and think about ending their lives. Surround them with loving people who can lift them up and help them bear this terrible burden. And if it is your will, use us to support them. We commend all things into your loving hands. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Please stay seated for, stay standing for the hymn. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.